The valleys are His and the trees are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. All right. Very good. Give him a round of applause. Very good. Thanks, guys. And that's exactly what we talked about last week. How big God is. How big God is. Because we're talking about discovering who God is. We're talking about knowing God. What is God like? You know, how do we pursue Him? How do we know this God? Well, that's our task this fall, is to seek to begin that, because the Lord's promise says, you will seek me and you will find me if you seek for me with all of your heart. God is wanting us to be a chaser, to chase after Him, to know Him. So today we're going to be talking about another aspect of God's character, and that is the fact that God is all-knowing. Okay? So let's pray together as we begin. Lord God, we know that You are mighty. There is nothing You can't do. And now, Lord, as we look at the fact that You're all-knowing, we are just absolutely blown away by who You are. Our words are insufficient. Our thoughts are not good enough. Our worship is never, Lord, we just never have the words, because we are so in awe of who You are today. And we thank You for this opportunity to seek to know You better. You've invited us today. These are Your sons and daughters here today. And we want to know You better. That is the cry of our heart today, Lord. That promise you gave in Jeremiah 29, that if we will seek You, we will find You. We want to find You, Lord. We want to know You better. We love You and we honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Why are we talking about who God is? Because how you see God influences every aspect of your life. For example, if you see God as a tyrant, you will live your life like that. You will be a miserable, legalistic person who doesn't feel like they could ever measure up to God. So therefore, I think it's important that we seek to understand God in the right way from Scripture, that He will teach us what He is like so that we have a correct understanding of who He is. Now, here's our quiz for today. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I am ready.
Oh,
you guys aren't ready. Look at your neighbor and said, I'm really ready. All right. Which country makes Panama hats? Y'all going to Walmart too much. Which country makes Panama hats? Ecuador. Which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? Who said that? You're exactly right. Somebody said November. Woo! Somebody knows their history. Because the Russian calendar during that time frame was 13 days behind ours. I'm not going to go there. Number three, how long did the Hundred Years' War last? 116 years. What is a camel's hairbrush made of? It's made of squirrel fur. Go figure. What color is a purple finch? Hey, at least we're getting adventurous now. Red. How long did the 30 Years' War last? 30 years, of course. Now, why didn't you know all the answers to those questions? I'm surprised. Because our knowledge is limited. We don't know everything. We have to go to school. We have to have education. We have to get our degrees. We have to learn. Our knowledge is limited. But when we get to the character of God, God's knowledge is not limited. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. It's limitless. It means God doesn't go to school for anything. There's nothing God does not know or has been. Theologians call that omniscience, all knowledge. He knows all things, past, present, future, what could have been, what is, and what will be, all at the same time. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, honey, you ain't got a nothing on you. Because that should blow your mind. How do you wrap your mind around that? The fact that God knows all things at the same time. Our God is amazing. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as His counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten Him, and who taught Him the right way? Who was it that taught Him knowledge or showed Him the path of understanding? The obviously rhetorical question's answer is no one. God is all-knowing. A student during college exams at Christmas time really struggled. I mean, he was not prepared for this exam. It was a chemistry final. And he, you know, walked into class totally unprepared, and he thought, well, I'll just get one on the teacher. I'll just write down, you know, only God knows the answers to these questions. So that's what he wrote. He said, Merry Christmas. He got his paper back. God gets 100. You get a 0. Happy New Year. Who is it that taught God knowledge? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? As we said in our class this morning, God has never had a VA moment like, oh, I just didn't know that. That is news to me, what's going on in Russia right now. That's news on what's going on in Israel. God, nothing has ever occurred to Him. And it's interesting when you get to Jesus, because Jesus exhibits the same traits. For example, in Mark chapter 2, when He encounters, He's brought a man who's paralyzed to Him. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. He said to them, why are you thinking these things? You know, if I would have been one of those guys sitting there thinking that, and He said that, it would have absolutely floored me. So, what does God's all-knowing nature mean for our lives? What does it mean for you and I? And I think this is where we need to park today. We've got to make this practical. What does it mean for everyday living? It should change the way you look at prayer. You know, think about it. God is all-knowing. He knows all things. What's the point of prayer? Why pray? Well, what happens when you're with your children and you see your child struggling with something and they don't, you know, come to you with their problems? How does that make you feel as a parent? Doesn't that frustrate you? I get extremely frustrated when I see a problem and Sarah doesn't come to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Prayer is for us. Prayer is for our benefit. It's God's idea. He's the one that initiated. If he was some cosmic, personal, impersonal force of the universe, he wouldn't have instituted prayer. But the fact that God did, that means He cares about you. He cares about your needs. He cares about what you're going through. So prayer should take on a whole new meaning for you. The fact that God is all-knowing. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you walked into this room today with. He knows the frustrations in your heart right now of what you're dealing with in your family and the situation that you're in right now. Knows. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So go to Him. He cares. Secondly, on your outline, the fact that God is all-knowing means none of us can pull one on God. People think, well, I can get away with this. Nope. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We are responsible for the choices we make in this life, accountable for the choices we make. None of us can pull one on God. The third thing that I think is really cool about God's all-knowing nature is the fact that He knows about my tears. And I love this passage from Psalm 56. You have taken account of my wanderings, David says. My tears are in your bottle. What's he talking about? Did you know during the time of David, and even before that, it was an ancient custom. When someone died, an empty bottle was passed around. And people would put their tears into that bottle. And supposedly, the person in the, we would see, you know, from a view how much people loved them by how many tears were in the bottle. And David says, God knows all about those tears that you may have cried by yourself when no one else was looking. He takes that into account. Are they not in your book? He knows them, which tells me God, there's nothing in my life that God doesn't know about that I'm going through right now. And when we cry, He's there. He's close to the brokenhearted. The one I like the best, the fact that God is all-knowing, is the fact that He's the only one that truly, truly understands and knows me. God is the only one. And it's interesting when you do marital counseling and you start talking to people that are getting married and they're so in love and all they can talk about is this person and how they're going to meet all their needs and fulfill everything. And then you get into marriage and after a while you start realizing that person cannot meet all my needs. Yes, only God can. And whenever I do a wedding ceremony, I always make that point very clear, is the fact that it's wrong to look to your mate to meet all of your needs. They're sinners. You're a sinner. Only God can meet all of the needs that we have within us. So to sit there and say, oh, they're going to unconditionally love me and always, that may not be true. But God unconditionally always is there for you and will love you and accept you. We don't need to put our trust in another human being. We need to put our trust in God. God blesses us with spouses and wonderful that will help us grow in the Lord, that will help us become like Christ. Marriage is a holy thing. God's desire for marriage is often different from what we think marriage is all about. God uses your mate to form you into Christ-likeness. I think we miss that point a lot. But the fact that I have a God who knows me and understands, don't we all want to have somebody that loves us, really understands us? And what was that movie that came out with Mel Gibson, you know, What Women Want? Y'all remember that movie? Why was that movie so popular? Because it tapped into a need. Because people want to be understood. They want to know that you know them and that you understand them. And it can be frustrating, especially with men, not understanding and not being fully clued in 80% of the time as to what's going on. But God does. You know, there's a big difference in knowing facts and knowing the person. You know, we can sit here and talk about all we want about Michael Jordan, and we can know a bunch of facts about him. But we really don't know him. And my big fear is that for a lot of us, we think that Christianity is nothing but knowing a bunch of facts about God. The Bible is just something I just know all the facts about. Jesus said in John 5:39, you come to the Scriptures because you think that you have eternal life by them. But you refuse to come to me, which those scriptures point to. See, this is the living word. This is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the heart. It's power. But it points to a person. We don't sit and study our spouses and get out a book and try to understand them. We spend time with them. And that this book teaches us about who God is. It's all about Him. And a lot of us have been in the church 30, 40, 50 years, and we know a lot about the Bible. But my question to you today is, do you really know the Lord? And the word for know in Scripture is the word yada. Say yada with me.
Yada.
Don't say yabba dabba do. Say yada.
Yada.
It's to know completely and to be completely known. It's a word used often of married couples. Okay, they have a knowledge, a different knowledge about their spouse than other people's do. It's the closest relationship we can have on earth with another human being. But this is what God wants for us. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You yada everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say before I say it, oh Lord. How well does God know us? He's examined my heart. The word examine there is the same word we get the word for dig, as if you're digging for gold, looking for treasure. God just doesn't want to look at the surface of you. He knows you deep within your soul, within your deepest recesses of your being. And God is so well acquainted with you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your habits. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Where was I before the womb? Ah, that's the question everyone wants to know. We were with God. I believe it firmly. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, everyone in this room, you have a divine appointment with history. God has called you for such a time as this on the stage of history. You are a history maker. You're not a pew sitter. Stop looking at church as a place to be a spectator. God has called you to be a part of what He is doing in this world today. You have gifts, you have talents, you have things God has given you. All you have to say is every day, Lord, what can I do for you today? My life is yours. Use me today. You have divine appointments that are waiting you each and every single day. You have destiny. God has called you for this very moment in time in history. You live where you live for a reason and a purpose. And the people that you encounter every day are no accident. I wish you would open your eyes and see what God is doing in this county. He is moving. And He is trying to get our attention. If we will stop looking at our phones all the time and look up at the people that surround you that God has put in your life on a daily basis. Man, this is an exciting time. Amen? And this God not only knows you, but He's invited you and I to know Him. He says this is eternal life. It's not just about heaven. It's about knowing Him. If you think Christianity is nothing but a ticket to heaven, you have missed the boat. It is knowing God. What's the purpose of eternity? It's knowing God. What is the purpose of this life? It is knowing God. It is not about making money. It is not about getting material possessions. It is about knowing your Creator. And why does God know me so well? It's because He has created us. Listen as David continues. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. It's amazing to me, thousands and thousands of years before they ever even knew what was going on inside a mother's womb.
how they were, you know, how cells divided starts with 2 cells, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, you get the idea. But it looks like somebody's knitting something together, and that someone is God. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Meaning, God knows the beginning and the end of your life. He knows all things. He knows exactly what is the choices that you're going to make. He doesn't violate your free will. He allows you to make choices. He's been to Blockbuster. He's seen the video on your life. He knows the choices you're going to make. He says, get your choices aligned with me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David is blown away by this God that he serves. We talk about this passage about being created in the womb. We automatically think about abortion. Abortion is murder because it is taking an innocent life. And I remember I was in the inner city several years ago working in Mobile, and I remember encountering this lady I was studying the Bible with, and she told me she'd had an abortion and she was fixing to get a second one. And she was struggling with the whole idea of forgiveness. I said, let me tell you something. God will not only forgive you and wash you clean, but if you allow God, if you save this child, this precious life, God will bless that child, God will honor you, and he will restore you. And she decided to keep that child. I would love to know today what that child is doing. There is an amendment that's coming on November 4th, and people say, oh, don't bring politics in the pulpit. I'm not bringing politics. I'm bringing a moral issue to you. On November 4th, we have a chance in Tennessee to say yes to Amendment 1. In 2000, the year 2000, Tennessee passed the right to abortion. Most of you don't realize all that's involved in that, but Tennessee ranks third in the most out-of-state abortions in the entire country. We have a chance to reverse that decision. We have a chance to get abortion out of our state. So we have a choice with our Tennessee Supreme Court. So I encourage you to look this up online and encourage you to vote yes on Amendment 1. I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully, wonderfully made. You know, God don't make junk. We used to say that in the inner city. God don't make junk. He's right. Who would like a $20 bill? Come up here and get it. Come up here. Come up here and get it. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's the problem here? Now wait.
Got to wrestle you?
Still want it?
Yeah.
Why does he still want it? It still has value. You can sit down now. Thanks for that. It's a great, good job, brother. It still has value. I can still use it. Each one of us is created in the image of God. You have value because you have a creator. You aren't junk. You aren't an accident. You are precious before God. Don't believe the media that says you have to be perfect. You have to meet a certain standard. I hate these magazines that teach our young girls that they got to be perfect. They got to be beautiful. You already are beautiful. You're beautiful because God created you. And each one of you is special in his sight. So don't listen to the world. Don't listen to what they say. We need to have God esteem. I see myself as God sees me, not as the world. So how does it make you feel that God knows you better than you know yourself? Does it make you feel like, terrified? Or does it make you feel comforted? I hope you will see it as feeling comforted today. For the unbeliever, God's all-knowing nature is not good news. It is terrifying because we cannot hide our sins. We are accountable, and there is a judgment day. And I want to encourage you today, if you have not gotten your life right with God, you need to get your life right with God. God will forgive you. God will wash your sin away and receive you. So the idea for an unbeliever that it's God's all-knowing nature should terrify you. But the same God deeply loves you and wants you to return to Him. He wants you to come home. For the follower of Jesus, though, God's all-knowing nature is comforting. It's good news. Because I know now I'm forgiven. You know, I think for a lot of us, the struggle we have with guilt is we carry around guilt for years because we, you know, when you did something wrong when you were a kid, you got a whooping, right? So when you got your whooping, it was all done, right? I think for a lot of us, we carry around guilt for years. We've asked God to forgive us of our sins. We carry it around because we're still waiting for the whooping. And I'm here to tell you today, Jesus, that's what the cross is all about. He took your whooping. And through Him, you can be forgiven. And the guilt can be removed. Why? Stop carrying around your guilt. Stop carrying around stuff that God never wanted you to carry around. For the follower of Jesus, that is such good news. And in spite of my fears, God still loves me. And the judgment day is a day of reward. I have confidence, as John says, for the day of judgment. Because it's a day of reward. So how does God's all-knowing nature affect how a follower of Jesus sees their past? Well, I love this passage from Jeremiah 31. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. You know, I love it how we go before God, we ask for forgiveness, but then we just keep carrying it around and we keep going to God and saying, see this, I'm still struggling. And God goes, what are you talking about? That's what I see. Your past is wiped clean. I will remember their sins no more. Does that mean God forgets? No, it means God doesn't hold me accountable for what I've done. And the fact that it's an important thing, I think, to recognize and remind ourselves that God, of everyone God has used in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob struggled with lying. Noah got drunk one time. Moses stuttered and had a speech impediment. Aaron struggled with idolatry. King David was an adulterer and killed one of his loyal men to hide his sin. Sarah, John the Baptist, and Thomas struggled with doubts. Timothy had health problems. Naomi was bitter and angry with God. Peter put his foot in his mouth a lot and was sometimes arrogant and overly confident. Miriam was a racist and a gossip. All of Jesus' apostles denied him and lived in fear after his crucifixion. Paul was a legalist who killed Christians. Elijah struggled with depression. So you're telling me God can't use you? You're telling me that you're not qualified, right? Is that what you're saying? God didn't call you to be a spectator. He's called you into history to make the difference in people's lives by simply loving them and showing them Christ wherever you are and wherever you're working tomorrow. How does God's all-knowing nature affect how a follower of Jesus sees the present? We understand the past, it's forgiven. What about the present? The Lord says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I think, and we'll talk about this next week more, but the fact that God is ever present with me should change how I live, change my perspective. He's always with me. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, Jesus says, sold in the marketplace for sacrifice, for food as well. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some people takes less time to number than others. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God takes the most insignificant bird and says, you are so much more valuable than them. Spurgeon said, God is the only one that attends a sparrow's funeral. If God knows about a sparrow, how much more does he know about you and what you're wrestling and struggling with today? How does God's all-knowing nature affect how a follower of Jesus sees the future, past, present, future? Remember the former things, those long ago. I am God, there is no other. I am the Lord, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God sees history as a whole. We see it in parts. So are you worried about the future? Are you concerned about, you know, what about next week? I got an important meeting on Thursday. I got something going on in my life this coming Tuesday. I got to deal with this particular issue. God is already there. And I am a firm believer that if we ask God, He will help us and make every path straight. Since God knows our futures, no psychic hotline knows it. You know, why would you look to the stars for your answers when you can go to the Creator that made the stars? And I believe with all my heart that God is preparing us. He's already around the next bend, and I think He is preparing us for that, working all things together for our good. But what about my struggle? I know what you're thinking. It's the same thing I was thinking this week. Yeah, God's all-knowing, but what about me and my struggle with sin? When your children make a mistake, do you kick them out of the house? You say, I've had enough. You get out of here. Or are we disappointed when our children make bad choices, but we still love them and we want them to come back to us and say, you know what I did was really wrong and I'm sorry. We don't kick our children out. Why would we think God kicks us out? He gives up on us. Well, Chris, you've done that. That's the 14th time this month. No more. We think God is going to throw us out when we make a mistake. And as we've talked about a lot, as we close up today, I want to remind you of some important truths about forgiveness. And I think it's important to remind ourselves from time to time, what exactly happened in baptism as we begun our walk with the Lord? I love this passage in Hebrews 10:14. Because by one sacrifice, because of the cross, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, this is a truth that will change your entire life. So please let me share it with you. I've shared it with many of you before, but I think it's important to remind for those of us who haven't heard this before. He has made perfect forever. We stand positionally righteous before God because we have trusted in Jesus and the finished work of the cross. There is no reason any of us in this room can go to heaven. We all deserve hell. We deserve eternity apart from God because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God. But because of Christ, I stand positionally righteous before Him. Am I a righteous person? No, I'm struggling with sin. Though because of Jesus, because of the cross, His righteousness has been credited to my account. And because of the cross, because of Him, I stand righteous before God. But He says, you're made perfect forever, but you're also being made holy. Meaning, you're under construction. You're growing in your faith. You're forgiven. You stand righteous before God because of your continual trust in Jesus to save you from your sins. But you're also being made holy on a daily basis. God is transforming you into Christ-likeness. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose. And that's why we can rejoice. That's why it's good news. I can't save myself. Jesus Christ can. And 1 John 1:7 teaches us, if I am walking in the light, if I am going God's way, if I'm continuing to trust Jesus every day, and as I confess my sins are being washed away daily by the blood of Christ. John says, it's all sin. Purification, it's in the continuous tense, every day, all day, just as if I was in the shower, washing my sins daily. Oh, how we need to hear that truth. Yeah, but does God ever reach a point where he gives up on us and stops forgiving us? What if I confess and struggle with the same sin over and over? Excuse me for interrupting you, but who told you that you deserved forgiveness the first time that you came to God? When you were baptized into Christ, did Jesus know all the sins of your past? Yes. Does Jesus know every sin you will commit in the future? Yes, he knows that too. Do you mean God saved me knowing all of the mistakes that I have made in the past and will make until the end of my life? And he is still willing to call me his child even though he knows all the mistakes I will make? Yes. Yes. So does that mean now I have a license to go out and, man, dog, I can go out and party as much as I want. I can sin as much as I want now. Absolutely not. Because when you understand the cross and when you understand how much God loves you, you're not going to want to do those things. You don't want to hurt God. It's a relationship. You don't want to hurt Daddy. It's all in our attitude towards sin. Okay, well, since God will forgive me tonight, I'm going to go out to the bar and do bad things. Is that the right attitude to have? I'm a horrible sinner. I've gone too far. God will never forgive me. Is that the right attitude to have? No. The right attitude is to say, I take sin seriously. I don't want to hurt the Father. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to make him look bad. I want to make God look good with my life. And when I mess up, I want to make things right with him quickly because I love him. God knows all things, past, present, future, what could have been, what is, what will be, and he knows and he loves you. What else can we do but worship? That's an amazing God. Stand with me as we close. Paul realized this as he's in Romans 11, he just stops and he just says, and say it with me, say it out loud as we close today. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Today, if we can assist you with prayer or with baptism, won't you come as we sing?
Common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond.